So what should be our attitude going into tomorrow night? We know we're getting into it. We know we have Rosh Hashanah tomorrow night. What should be our attitude? What should be our way of thinking and the extra things that we should take on for ourselves specifically for tonight, for tomorrow, and going through? Is it about tefillah? Is it about getting ourselves ready? Should we find extra time to learn? Should we be fine with really everything that we've done up until now and say, listen, I'm ready. I'm ready to go in. I want my Rosh Hashanah to come. What should be our attitude when it comes to anything, when it comes to the Yamino Rayim? So a lot of people have told me, and maybe this is because I'm working in the high school as well now, but I've heard this way more than I've ever heard before, that I absolutely hate davening. I can't stand davening on its own. Slichos is a pure reminder of how much people hate davening. You see it. You can either see it or you don't. That slichos is out there, and I get that. I feel that there are four major reasons why people hate davening. I think that everything fits into these four categories, that if you find them, it goes into these four. And then you have to figure out which one is the ikker by you and out there. The number one to me is that you feel like no one's listening. You feel like no one's listening, no one's hearing you, there's no response. The only way for that one to be fixed is if a person has a tefillah that he knows was answered at some point in his life. And I'm hoping that everyone here has had at least one tefillah that you've davened and you felt like you were answered right away. You have that. Even if it wasn't right away, it came right afterward. But you have something like that. But you feel like you're not being answered. It feels like it's not going anywhere. And that's partly your problem. That's partly HaKadosh Baruch Hu's problem. That the message has to be clearer to you. But maybe you should be checking your messages. Maybe there's something that you're missing when it comes to that. Number two, a person is tired. He's lazy. He's busy with something else and he's got something else on his mind. Now, with this, some of these times, you're mamish putter from tefillah. There are a lot of people today that cannot get movies or TV shows that they've watched out of their head. I mamish don't understand how a person can come from a car listening to any music that they want to and then walk inside and expect to daven. I don't expect that at all. I would venture to say that that person's totally putter. A person who watches a movie or a TV show or whatever it is, a clip on the computer, and then comes in here, there's no way your head is ready to daven. There's no way. It just can't be. You're getting the images that are just going through your brain. You're thinking about what you just watched. I don't think it's possible. I would say in most of those cases, you're putter. In many of these situations, I'm not saying that you could putter yourselves your whole lives, but in theory, if a person's saying that I can't concentrate because I'm lazy or I'm tired or I'm busy, I would say our whole lives are going to be putter from tefillah. You will never have a moment in your life that you're not busy, tired, or lazy. It's always going to be that way. And you somehow have to make room for it, somehow put it in. I would say in that, it takes effort. That takes effort. Number three has to do with your upbringing, your parents. My parents didn't daven this way. My parents didn't do this. My parents didn't do that. And number three is, if you didn't learn how to daven growing up, because it's a very difficult thing to do when you're in school and then yeshiva, so if you didn't learn from your parents, it's very difficult to learn as you get older. Not impossible. Obviously, there are Bali Chubo who figured it out. Obviously, there are people who have taken what their parents have done and gone further with it, but it's very difficult to. If your father never, ever went to Mincha Maariv, to get yourself to go to Mincha Maariv is a bigger challenge. Not impossible. Again, nothing's impossible. But a challenge. It certainly would be a challenge. And that's number three. And number four, I think it's a bit of an ego issue. I feel like I can do it myself. I don't need somebody else. I don't have to ask someone else there. And I think I can do it. And those four problems, in my mind, encompass all the issues that are there by tefillah. Maybe there's another. I tried discussing it with three different classes to try to go through. But I think these encompass almost everything. They feel like they're not being listened to. They themselves are almost putter from their tiredness or whatever busyness. Parents' issues, your way you were brought up, as well as thinking that you yourself can do everything. You don't really need to ask somebody. There's no reason to ask. It's difficult to get around those. And I know this takes a lot of time. There is no way you are going to overnight just start davening and tefillah is going to come to you. There's no way. You can't teach someone how to be a good basketball player if the person doesn't have the skills and works beforehand to get to that point. He needs to work hard. And without the person working hard, you could teach him everything in the world. You could tell him everything there is to know about the NBA and how it works. But if he doesn't have the skills, it's impossible. There's nothing to do. There needs to be something there. And throwing someone into a fire is never a good idea. To take someone and say, here you go, 6 hours straight, see if you can do it, is always difficult. It's difficult for anyone to get into. On the other hand, maybe there is something that you can take from what you've done in the past and do something with it. They claim that the most effective way of teaching a kid how to swim is by throwing him into the deep end. Now that's child abuse, I realize that. And nowadays, if you did that, you probably would be arrested and DCFS would come to your house. But nonetheless, it seems to be the most effective way. I know that's how I learned how to swim. I don't know about everybody here, but I'm still from an age where that's what they did, and I was thrown into the deep end. Was that? You had a pool. That's right. No, that might be a little bit different. You grew up with it. That might be a little bit different. But I remember that's what I did. My parents just threw me in. Not my parents. My mom for sure wouldn't do it. But my dad took me and threw me in, right? And I wasn't sure. I had absolutely no idea if it was on purpose or by accident. But I learned how to swim. You figure out what to do. Now you have to hold up your kid. You have to let him kick on his own. You have to bring him. And after a year or two, he gets used to it and eventually he starts to swim. And I realize there's two different ways of doing it. I don't know. I have no idea whether it's, should we build a person up for tefillah or do we just throw him in, just let him sink or swim? I have absolutely no idea. That's not up to me. I think everybody's going to be different when it comes to that. But the concept is there, how to work on tefillah and how to get involved. The problem is, and this is a real problem, when we get up to daven during the year, we are entirely selfish. When you have your best tefillah, it's always about you. What I got out of it, what I was able to gain, or what I wasn't able to do. It's always about you. It's not about the world. It's not about everyone. It's you. What did you get or you not get? And that's an issue. Tefillah should not be so selfish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not be going about this in such a fashion, saying, what does Zvi Zimmerman want? And we'll try to give him what he wants. It more should be about everybody together, the tzibur, trying to daven in a certain fashion. There's a reason why we're saying the same words. And granted, we all have different ideas that we want within the words that we're saying. We might add on something to the end of our Shemona Esrei. But there has to be more than just the selfish, do this for me. And it's a problem because I don't think anybody teaches that during the year. We don't learn how to daven properly with everybody in mind. Why we're saying it in the plural form. The Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. It's my tefillah. I get involved. But Rosh Hashanah has to be that way. Rosh Hashanah cannot be about you. Yom Kippur is about you. There's more people involved because of the sleeve that you're saying vidui for the people that don't do it. But Yom Kippur is more about you, we'll call it. Rosh Hashanah can't be about that. It's a model in how our tefillah should be the rest of the year, and it shows us what we're missing when we daven for ourselves the rest of the year. The concept is like this. Rosh Hashanah is a day of coronation. Rosh Hashanah is God's day. It's the king being coronated again on his, so to speak, the birthday that he chose for himself, in which he said, here is what I want you to do. On this day, when I am made king again, when people accept my malchus and allow me to be their king, I am giving you, every frum Jew, I'm giving you the opportunity to have a few minutes with me. You just have a few minutes. You get to come into my throne room. You're allowed to speak in front of me. And you're allowed to say to me anything you think is necessary while you're there. That's what you're given. You're given coronation time. Everything else is about the preparation. The Pesukei de Zimra and the Birkos Kriyat Shema and the Kriyat Shema, which is the Deil Raisa, is leading up to the Shemona Esrei in which you get a few minutes with the king. Granted, your Shemona Esrei could be a little bit longer. But the Malkis, the Kronos, and Shofros are there to be able to awaken you, to get you awake, realize what you're there for. You get a few minutes within your Shemona Esrei where you actually get those minutes with the king where you're saying, and yes, there are the Stam words, of course there are. Can you imagine going into the king and not having a prepared speech? Going into anywhere. If a person gets up in front of a whole crowd of people and just starts speaking from the heart, he doesn't have anything prepared whatsoever, you think it's going to be good? There could be some things from the heart. But that's not a prepared speech. You don't do that in front of the king. You have to have an actual prepared speech. For that, we have our regular Shemona Esrei. And if you feel you want to go off the path a little bit, you want to say something a little bit extra, you think you can add on, do something a little bit extra on Rosh Hashanah, go for it. Add it in. Throw it in there. Because you are great. And you are allowed to go inside. So you're given permission. Go ahead in. But the main idea is, this isn't about you. It's not about what you want. It's not about what you need. It's about God. And it's about Him being the Melech. And Him having a Malchus, a kingdom that you are a part of. I gave this mashal last year, but I feel it's the strongest mashal. It's like going into your father's birthday party, when everybody is sitting there celebrating, singing happy birthday to your father, and everybody's having an awesome time, and you go in, and you're wearing like sackcloth, and you've got ashes on your head, and you're like, Father, please forgive me. This is not the time for that. That is not the time to be crying and begging for forgiveness and asking people to do something crazy. This is the time to celebrate your father. Your father's sitting there, and he's saying, it's my birthday. All I want to do is blow out the candles on my cake, kaviyachol. That's all I want to do. I want to renew my kingdom. I want you to be a part of it. Get out of here. You don't belong at this party looking like that. I still remember when I was a bachur in yeshiva, and my rosh yeshiva went up to the baal tefillah, whoever it was after davening. I remember this baal tefillah always cried at certain points in Shemona Esrei and Chazaras Hashatz. I think anybody who went to my yeshiva knows the same. There are certain points where he would always start bawling. Always. And I remember I was there at the end of davening. I was eating by him. I was eating by the Rosh Yeshiva that day. And he went up to him and he said, you can't cry on Rosh Hashanah. You can't cry. Now there is an issue. But the Gra says that if you feel the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you feel the awesomeness of where God is, then you can cry. If you feel that's where you are. But the crying of, I'm not worthy, of this is not for me, I sinned, I did something wrong, that's not Rosh Hashanah. It's not about you. And stop it. The king on his coronation, he doesn't want to see the crying. Doesn't want to see you sad. He wants you to be happy that he's your king and you're his subject. That's what you're there for. So what are we davening for? We're davening for the Malchus to be complete. We're davening for this world to be done. For this garbage to be out of here. We don't need this anymore. What do we need this for? I don't see the Bears doing anything. I'm looking at the Bulls and I'm like, I hope the whole NBA blows up, right? Granted, okay, I've got possibly the Cubs and the Blackhawks, which are always whatever. But like, really, am I waiting? I got the Cubs already. I'm done. I got them. They won the World Series. The Sox won the World Series while I was still in Chicago, so I could pay attention to it. I don't need anything anymore. I had the Bears 40 years ago. And that's fine. And we'll live off that for the next 80 years. And I'm done. What are we waiting for? What do I really want? Do I really want to stay here in this world for another year? Do I want to deal with the problems that I'm dealing with now? Now, I'm not saying that everything's going to be perfect when Mashiach comes. That we're just going to walk into Eretz Yisrael and everything's going to be rosy and the Arabs are just going to, please, sir, please take my house. I know that's not going to happen. I know it's going to be a challenge. I know there are going to be issues. I get that. I totally understand. How am I going to get used to living in a big house, going into a two-bedroom apartment with all my kids? I know that's going to be difficult. But do I really want this? Or do I want that? Do I want to live in a real Malchus? Or do I want to live in a fake Malchus that looks like it's real, but nobody knows? I don't want to live in a world where Rosh Hashanah, everybody's driving around and nobody has a clue what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Even Jews, 95% of Jews have no clue what it's all about. I want it to be a different Malchus. And we're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is your kingdom. We are your subjects. We are saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, renew the kingdom for good. Make it a real Malchus. Be a real Melech. Let us be real servants to you. That's what we're asking. And it's not just about you. It's about everything. Make the world different. And for that, you need a plan. You have your set Shemona Esrei. If you have not looked over the Machzor yet, you have tonight and tomorrow to just look at the Machzor. Just take a look at it. See what's in there. If you don't have your Machzor here, there are very few Machzorim in Yeshiva. And you got about 100 high school kids who are probably going to all need Machzorim. Make sure you have your Machzor. Have it ready. Look at it. Take a look. Even if you've done it 30 times already, take a look. Just look at every page. See what you have in there. See what you're going to be going up to. We're going to be skipping some things. We're going to be saying some of the others. But take a look at it. Read it. Read what you have inside there. To plan. You need to make a plan for something that you're going to add on. You have the regular Shemona Esrei. But you're inside the king's palace. You're in his coronation room, and everybody's right there, you would be dumb not to ask for anything for yourself. Granted, it's about the king. It's about his malchus. He's the melech, and I'm his subject. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I'm your subject, and if you want me to be part of your malchus, which I'm assuming you want, I'm going to try my hardest, I'm going to do whatever I can, but if you want me as part of your malchus, you know I need my family. I can't go without them. So my wife is going to have to be alive this year. My kids are going to have to be alive this year. Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't have a job if there are no boys for me to teach. So I need the Beis Medrash boys. I need the high school boys. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I don't have my congregants, then I don't have a shul. That takes away from what I want to do in this world as well. So I need them as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to go to Walmart. I need an entire country of China to survive so that Walmart continues to exist. In theory, again, that's there. I am given 30 seconds, 45 seconds, a minute. I'm given that amount of time. In that minute of time, the 30 seconds, you get like an elevator pitch, like any business class will tell you. Can you say what you want to do in less than 30 seconds? Get it down on a piece of paper and write it down. And you'll see every year it's similar, but it's not the same. Write down a piece of paper. My name is Tzvi Zimmerman. I guess you don't have to say that. He knows your name. Here's what I want to do. This is my plan. This is what I need in order to continue my plan. It's not about you. It isn't. It's not about you. But if I'm there and I'm your subject and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's your malchus, I would be remiss if I wouldn't go up to you and ask for something. So I'm going to say, here's what I need really quickly, and I'm going to put it in there for you. But you've prepared yourself. You've gotten yourself ready. If you have a card for this year, you should have a card for next year, and then a card a year after that. Look at what you asked for. And then the next year, you know what's going to really affect your tefillos? You had 30 seconds to daven for yourself. The rest is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 30 seconds. Look at how much happened. The things that you asked for. Look how much was accomplished. Look at what you wrote. My family, Baruch Hashem, is unbelievable now. I asked for certain things, and I've gotten it. I've gotten it. I knew that I had to move. And I knew that in order to move, I was going to need a crazy, two big miracles had to happen. Number one, I needed a bigger house than I have now. Number two, I needed it to be cheap. And I got both. I got both. It didn't make any sense. But when you write these things down and you take a look at it like I did, and I looked at my card from last year, it's ridiculous. You're looking at yourself and you're saying, I asked for this and I got it. Not just one thing, not just two things, five things out of six, I think. I didn't win the lottery. And I'm not an NBA superstar. So I didn't get two out of the seven things that I asked for. But out of the others, you look through, you write it down, you prepared yourself, you come into Rosh Hashanah with a plan, not only for the world, which is already set down there by Chazal, they made it for you. You've come up with a plan for yourself, how you want to live your life and what you want to be. You're not coming in broken. You're coming in with something. If you do this correctly, and I mean this honestly, you're going to run into a problem. You're going to run into a problem. The problem is, you're going to want to write down more on that index card than you could possibly fit on there. 30 seconds. That's all you need. You'll notice it. It's 30 seconds. Fit everything you need or want onto 30 seconds. And that way, it means you're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all about you. Your malchus, it's all about you. Give me 30 seconds. Just give me this time to ask for something for myself. That's what Rosh Hashanah should be all about. It turns your davening around. It makes your davening during the year a different tefillah. You're no longer thinking only about yourself. You're thinking about everyone. And yeah, of course, I could also use this as well. When you're saying Rifa'enu, it's not just about your grandmother, or your aunt, or somebody else who's sick. You're sitting there with Rifa'enu and you're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heal Klal Yisrael. And by the way, I have an aunt who's sick. Barek Aleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael needs parnassa. There's issues in Illinois right now. There's tons of issues financially. Illinois needs a refuah. By the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I could use a couple extra dollars as well. It's no longer you. It's not Borech Osi, Lashana Tova. I want everyone should get it. It changes everything about your tefillah. If the focus is Malchus. The focus is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The focus is everyone else. And then you are just a cog within there. You're also there. Refocus everybody. Put your tefillahs in a different state. Make your Roshana into something different. Make yourself into another part, but someone who is Zocha, to be able to sit in the kingdom, in his room on Coronation Day. And prepare. I can't say this enough. Prepare. Get yourselves ready for this. Don't just go in and say, like, I'll figure it out on Rosh Hashanah night when I have an hour or two by myself. Prepare for this. You have tonight. You have tomorrow. We don't have yeshiva tomorrow. We don't have official Seder tomorrow. Sit down for a half an hour, for an hour. Sit down and start writing things down. We should have an unbelievable Ksiva v'chasima tova. I wish everyone a tremendous good yor. And daven. Let's learn this year how to daven.